Welcome to the Left of Lansing podcast with your host, Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. A, dare we say, entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how we can best make Michigan's political machine work for the people. And now, live from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah. All right. Welcome to another installment of the Left of Lansing podcast. Pat Johnston with you again, who, like many of you, drove over so many bumps and potholes today that my body feels like I just went through 15 rounds against Apollo Creed. Just think how my car's feeling. Hey, you can listen to my weekly LOL podcast on my blog. That's leftoflansing.com. You can also hear it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Radio Public, and on Audioboom, which is the platform I'm using for this podcast. And if you subscribe, which I hope you're doing, please give this podcast a good rating. I could really use it, unless you don't want to. Coming up, I'll be speaking with David Hecker, who is the president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan. And thanks to Republican rule for the last few decades, Michigan's education system has experienced body blow after body blow, to keep with the boxing motif, if you don't mind. I talked a little bit about this last week, but Michigan conservatives, who've been bought and paid for by their donors, enacted numerous radical right-wing policies. They gutted education spending. They made Michigan a right-to-work-for-less state. They raided the school aid fund, raided the rainy day fund, slashed taxes for their donors and corporations, deregulated safety and environmental standards placed on businesses, and on and on and on. The result? An education system that's in shambles. A teacher shortage. Businesses not able to find enough quality workers. Roads that resemble thoroughfares in the Old West movies. And water throughout the state that is contaminated with toxic chemicals because we allow corporations to pollute them. It took a while, but Michiganders are now on high alert. They're now realizing that years of Republican orthodoxy has turned our state upside down. I chatted with a fellow Michigander the other day on Twitter who was complaining about Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer's 45-cent gas tax proposal, and she is proposing that to help pay for road repairs. The fellow could not understand how our roads got so bad. I mean, he said, you know, Pat, you know, just 20 years ago, our roads were beautiful. And I responded, yes, they were beautiful back then in the 90s because that was the last time we invested in our roads. Republican governors John Engler and Rick Snyder, along with the Republican legislature and lobbyists, fought to make Michigan a model of laissez-faire capitalism, give back as much as they can to their donor base while slashing regulations and spending on us. Well, here we are. Now, as I said on the Left of Lansing blog this week, the Tax Foundation says that Michigan has the lowest corporate tax rate per capita compared with the rest of the Great Lakes states. Ohio is the exception since it does not have a corporate tax rate, which didn't keep GM from shuttering its doors in Lordstown, now did it? So we slashed all kinds of taxes on corporations. What do we get for it? Well, let's take our roads, for example. A new study by TRIP, which is a nonprofit transportation organization, said that Michiganders are paying $648 per year in car operating costs, thanks to our poor road conditions. $648. That's on average. So we're paying for bad roads one way or another. Yes, no one is clamoring for a 45-cent tax hike on gasoline. Nobody really wants that. But I'm giving Governor Whitmer credit because she's trying to come up with ways to reinvest in our state after years and years of slashing and burning by conservatives. Now is the time for everyone to chip in. And that means the rich, who enjoyed huge tax breaks. That means corporations, who also enjoyed huge tax breaks. That means other businesses as well. Hello? You'll benefit from a solid infrastructure and better students as well, not to mention clean water and upgrades to our sewers and pipelines. We have to make Michigan a place that people want to stay and work and raise a family. We have to do that again. We lost our way. We haven't done that, which is why thousands and thousands of people have been moving out. It's time to change the game. It's time to change the direction. I was convinced for years that Republicans wanted us to get so fed up with their system of governing that we would stop caring. And you know what? It worked for quite some time. But finally, we woke up. So here's the lesson for all of you. Don't get stuck in despair. Don't let what they're trying to do in Lansing get you down. Fight back. We chatted with State Representative Lori Pahutsky last week, who didn't give in to hopelessness. She got involved and decided to take the fight to those who've been beating us down for years. In the words of the great Denzel Washington from the Civil War drama Glory, it's time for all of us to ante up and kick in.
Thanks for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. Upset with something you've heard? Did Pat say something you think is ignorant, stupid, or arrogant? Or do you actually agree with something Pat said on the podcast? Email him at leftoflansing@gmail.com.
All right, once again, if you'd like to email me, very simple. That's leftoflansing@gmail.com. leftoflansing@gmail.com. Joining me right now is David Hecker. He is the president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan chapter, and he is on this week's Left of Lansing podcast. Mr. Hecker, thanks a lot for being on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
Well, first, can you tell us a little bit about AFT Michigan and why so many teachers believe being part of this union is not just key to their jobs, but key to Michigan's overall educational success?
Sure. So the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, AFT Michigan, as you would guess, the state union of the National American Federation of Teachers. We're part of the AFL-CIO at every level, national, state, and local level. We represent employees, teachers, and support staff in pre-K, and represent tenured faculty, non-tenured faculty, graduate employees, academic staff in community colleges and universities.
Wow, how many members do you have?
We represent about 30,000 people. Wow. We have locals throughout the state of Michigan. We probably are about 50% higher education and about 50% K-12. And the K-12 grouping includes some members in some charter schools as well.
How long have you been president, David?
I've been president for a while, Pat. I've been president for, almost 18 years.
What has changed over all these years since when you first started?
Well, a number of things have changed. Clearly, the economy of Michigan, which has had its ups and downs, certainly. But with the more recent down, the decline of the auto industry, and even though they're financially healthy, which General Motors is doing now in closing plants, and, you know, the number of employees in the so-called Big Three are, has plummeted. The shift in jobs from, first of all, the shift in the number of people leaving the state of Michigan because of the lack of good jobs, because of the decline in manufacturing, is a major hit. That is one of the causes of the continual decline in the number of school-age children in Michigan communities. And a big thing we've seen in the K-12 world over the last 20 years is a decline in the performance of our K-12 public schools, really tied pretty directly to the time period when the DeVos family started to purchase legislators and purchase education policy.
We're talking with David Hecker, who is the president of AFT Michigan, here on the Left of Lansing podcast. The one word I was catching there, David, was decline, the decline of the right. Michigan's workforce, and then which led to the decline of students in Michigan. Did it frustrate you during those years, especially during this past decade, that it seemed like those on the Republican side of the aisle thought that the best solution was to cut taxes for the rich and for corporations and thereby cutting funding for education, that they thought that that was the solution when it's proving that that's not the way to go?
Right. I'm not sure they thought that was the solution. I think not all of them, but many of them thought that policy took them where they wanted to go, which was to undercut public education.
Yeah.
I don't think they really thought it was the solution. I mean, Governor Snyder's first budget was a disgrace. You know, he slashed K-12 funding, he slashed higher education funding, He increased taxes, I should say, on low income, and he imposed taxes on retirees, all to give corporate America a $1.8 billion tax giveaway. All that saved K-12 somewhat at that time was President Obama's stimulus package, which brought, for a temporary period of time, brought money in. So this is, again, all during the time when the DeVos family was purchasing education policy. They support the candidates, and they threaten the candidates who don't support their points of view. They support the candidates who don't want to provide the funding that's necessary, the candidates who ram through right to work to undercut teacher and educator voice, the candidates who undercut teacher and educator voice by taking away many, many rights that teachers and educators used to have. And so much of it is tied to this family and others in the business community refusing to stand up to the DeVos family.
Speaking with David Hecker, president of AFT Michigan, here on the Left of Lansing podcast here today. You know, another thing that was passed during the Snyder years, of course, was right to work, or right to work for less, as right. as I call it.
Right.
How much has that impacted your union, and has it impacted your union as much? Has it been as detrimental, that maybe I should say, to your union as Republicans and their donors kind of were hoping for?
Right. This whole purpose of right to work, as you're saying, Pat, is to destroy organized labor. It certainly hasn't been a plus. It certainly has nicked us, but it, you know, not even close. Not even close to the death blow that they wanted it to be. You know, in some situations, it's more of an issue than in other situations. But overall, it hasn't come close to what their goal was, which was to destroy organized labor. I think they were shocked, really, at the strong support of union members from all unions throughout the state, and not just AFT. I think they were shocked when it passed and employers were agreeable to bargain long-term contracts to put off the implementation of right to work. I think they thought employers would just say, hey, great, right to work. Thank you, legislator and legislature. And I know in our case, many, many employers said, you know, yeah, we're willing to sit down in the 3 months we have before it gets implemented and bargain a longer term contract, because right to work is ridiculous. So if we could help delay the implementation of it legally, totally legally, then we'll do that.
David, is reversing right to work a possibility? I know not right now because the Republicans still have a hold of the state legislature, but is that still a goal that your union and other teachers' unions have, or that they're hoping for in the future?
Yeah. Well, so it's a major goal, but it would not impact public sector unions because of the Janus Supreme Court decision that came down a year ago, which through Trump's Supreme Court, that said the entire public sector in the United States is now right to work.
Right,
so,
right.
So even if we overturn the law here, which we want to do, absolutely want to do, for all our sisters and brothers in private sector, but it would not, overturning it would not impact public sector unions.
Do you think, because you've been talking about how this has always been kind of a grand plan from the DeVos family and many other conservatives, was to really undercut public education funding here in the state of Michigan, do you think it was also their goal to lower the morale of teachers, which has led to a teacher shortage?
The answer is yes. The goal of the DeVos family is to destroy public education. You know, when a few years back, three or four at this point, sometimes I lose track of time, when we were working with others on the legislation that really saved Detroit Public Schools. The Great Lakes Education Project, the DeVos organization, the hashtag they used on their tweets was hashtag end DPS. I mean, how direct can you be? So everything they do has as the end goal destroying public education. So, right, if you destroy the morale of teachers and educators, you know, support staff as well, which their policies have effectively done to a large extent, then people leave the profession. People don't want to enter the profession. As you said, major decline in the number of students in schools of education. Well, that leads to the undermining of public education, which is their bottom line goal. Absolutely.
I can't remember the state senator's name off the top of my head. It was last year, but I remember he was it was Republican. He was, I don't know if he's still there. I wish I could remember his name. Well, anyway, he expressed some shock when the numbers came out that there was a teacher shortage in many areas across Michigan, and he could not understand why.
Right.
I always thought it was kind of easy to understand because, especially for millennials and the following Generation Z, that entering the teaching field, you're not entering it to become really, really wealthy. You are entering it because you want to teach, you want to educate. But these people who are coming out of college right now, they're dealing with massive student loans right out of college, so they're already behind the eight ball. It's really difficult for them to get into it.
You know, so you're going into a profession which you really want to do.
Yep.
It pays poorly, and, you know, again, no one goes into education to get rich by any means whatsoever. Unlike the private sector, you know, they don't go in saying, my goal is to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But they deserve and need a fair wage, so for themselves, for their family, et cetera. And then when you add to that all of the attacks, you know, teachers are the problem, teachers are the problem, teachers are the problem. And all the undermining of teacher voice and educator rights, that combination of things. You know, as important as money is, when you poll teachers, why are you leaving your profession or, you know, et cetera, or what, you know, what are your thoughts as to what's needed to improve? Number one is never more money. You know, it's number three, and it's very important. But, you know, administrator support, respect from elected officials, smaller class sizes, supplies for my students, those kind of things, which just reflect how committed the education workforce is.
We're talking with David Hecker, president of American Federation of Teachers Michigan, here on the Left of Lansing podcast. We only have a couple minutes left, so why don't we talk about our new governor? That is Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She introduced her first budget proposal. And while her gas tax proposal is taking a majority of the headlines right now, I think her proposals for education show, I think, the most stark contrast between her and the previous Snyder administration.
Absolutely. It's such a breath of fresh air. I mentioned before what Governor Snyder did in his first budget, slashed, took money away from children, basically, you know, slashed education funding, took money away from low income, took money away from retirees. But when you just concentrate on the education part of his slashing education funding and you compare it to Governor Whitmer's proposal of, in the K-12 world, adding $650 million to the pot, and also doing it in a way that's in line with a research study that we're, you know, fully engaged with and supportive of, the School Finance Research Collaborative, so that you have funding that is differentiated student-based funding. So, you know, if you have, for every child you have that comes out of a family in poverty, you get X dollars more. For, you know, for special education children, you get X dollars more. And for, you know, for career tech, the School Finance Research Collaborative also said English language learners, which is not part of this year's budget for Governor Whitmer as part of the formula. Obviously, they're going to get funding, but as far as the formula approach, but I'm sure will be in the future. It is just a breath of fresh air. Every school district benefits, which means every child in Michigan benefits. It's an initial strong first step towards getting to where we need to get to, which is the findings of the School Finance Research Collaborative.
She said in her first State of the State last month, she described Michigan's educational system as one that's in a funding crisis, and she said,
I want to send a message to all the devoted educators across Michigan. You're not failing us. We have been failing you.
I thought that was the biggest line, even more than with the road funding. I thought that was the biggest line of the entire speech. What's your thoughts?
Absolutely. It was tremendous. You know, when I mentioned the legislation of 3-4 years ago that really saved DPS, that came out of the report of the Coalition for the Future of Detroit School Children, which also had a line similar to that. And it was just so powerful in this case for the governor of the state, the numero uno in the state of Michigan, for the governor to publicly say, we have failed you, educators. You haven't failed us. You know, I got to tell you, well, we didn't do a poll, but I'll tell you anecdotally that the morale of educators in Michigan went up significantly just as a result of what Governor Whitmer said, let alone the increase in funding in K-12 and also in higher ed. 3% for community colleges, 3% for universities. You know, more is needed, and Governor Whitmer understands that, but these are initial budgets. It's just a strong first budget for education. And again, when you compare it to Governor Snyder, it's such a contrast between the party that Gretchen Whitmer is a member of and the party that Governor Snyder is a member of.
Right. Well, and it just seems like that Governor Whitmer is a big believer that it's time that we start investing more in the state rather than trying to run it on the cheap. That's always been my argument, especially during the Snyder years, as we saw with the roads, as we saw with Flint water and water in general around the state, and especially with education, that there's this belief that we could do it on the cheap. Now we have to pay.
That's right. That's right. And you can't do it on the cheap. The business community has realized that.
They absolutely.
Can't build jobs. Budget's going to be a battle, but hopefully we walk out of there with something very close to what Governor Whitmer has proposed. I don't see how there's a choice. I don't see how any legislator in either party, and I'm really talking more here about the Republicans, could. I'm not that concerned about the Democrats and where they're going to be in education. But I don't know how you go back to your community and say, no, I don't support the kind of funding that Governor Whitmer wants for your children.
Governor Whitmer said that she is in opposition to that third grade reading proficiency law that Republicans passed last year.
Right.
Does AFT Michigan have a position on that issue?
Yes, we have always been strongly opposed to the third grade reading bill. We think it's atrocious education policy. Leaving a child back in a class, if it is the agreement of the teacher and the parents, and together they think that's what's best for the child, well, that's fine. My wife and I did that with one of our children. But to just say you don't reach this level in reading, so you're automatically left back, and then the cumbersome process parents would need to go through to have their child not left back, it's just absurd. But just a whole philosophy that you're left back if you don't achieve this level, when as a state, not only has the state failed educators, right? The state has failed its students. The state is no universal quality preschool for kids. There's not close to enough money for major education interventions when early on in a child's life, it's clear they need additional help. You know, that isn't there. But come third grade, if you don't get a certain score, you're doing the grade again. Just horrible, horrible, horrible education policy. I applaud Governor Whitmer for wanting to negate it.
All right. David Hecker, president of the American Federation Teachers of Michigan. If anybody would like to learn more about AFT Michigan, how can they find you and learn more?
AFTMichigan.org, as you would guess, is the webpage, and you go and check us out. Thank you.
Cool. David, thanks a lot for being on the Left of Lansing podcast, and I hope you consider coming back in the future.
We will. Just ask. Thank you, Pat.
You know, I had a thought while I was talking with Mr. Hecker there. It's a thought that's crossed my mind many times, and I just want to share it with you real quick. You know, it's always surprising to me by how much disdain, and I mean pure disdain, conservatives have for teachers. But then at the same time, they want to throw all of our trust into arming teachers. Donald Trump Jr. once called teachers loser teachers at a rally for his dad recently. You remember that? But all of a sudden, we are fine with arming teachers. We can't trust them to educate our kids. We want to cut their funding to help educate kids. But by all means, we want to add funding so that way we can arm them. I mean, that's always confused me. Cognitive dissonance, well, that's usually what the Republican platform is all about. But doesn't that also show how important a role teachers are playing in our society? Because not only are we asking them to teach our kids, but we are also asking them to serve as first responders whenever a tragedy occurs in our schools. So naturally, let's pay them less and make their jobs harder. Sounds grand.
Thanks for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. Don't forget, you can contact Pat by emailing leftoflansing@gmail.com and visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information.
Hey, thanks again to David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan, for being on this week's LOL podcast. And special thanks to all of you who've been listening to the podcast, or maybe you just found the podcast this week for the first time. I'd just like to remind you, this is my own venture, and the only way that it grows is through you. So you could help out by perhaps sharing the podcast on your Facebook page or sharing it on Twitter or by telling your friends and family, hey, you know what? There's this crazy cat out in Michigan who is highlighting all of the progressive gains that are happening in Michigan. You might want to check it out. It's called the Left of Lansing Podcast. Hey, whatever it takes to get the word out, I greatly appreciate it. And thank you again for listening. Now it's time for this week's Left of Lansing's Last Call. The Detroit Free Press reported last week that medical marijuana sales are, I know, hold on to your hats, growing beyond expectations. You don't say. No way. I'm shocked. That's just shocking news. I just didn't see that one happening. Right. Everybody could see that one happening, right? Medical marijuana sales have generated over $42 million since the state's first dispensary opened last November. This is from the Detroit Free Press. Says in the first month of operation, when only a few licensed dispensaries were open, $7.1 million in pot sales were recorded with the State Department of Licensing and Regulation. That figure grew to $11.9 million in January and slipped slightly to $11.2 million in February, a frigidly cold month with three fewer days than January. In those 4 months, according to the Free Press, 8,660 pounds of marijuana were sold at a median retail cost for customers of $213.91 per ounce. That translates into more than $2.3 million sent to the state with the 6% sales tax and $1.2 million from the 3% excise tax. The Free Press says that with more than 294,000 medical marijuana cardholders, Michigan is the second largest medical marijuana market in the nation. Now, people, let's please remember that thanks to a voluntary medical marijuana licensing board empowered by our great state legislature, there are only 54 dispensaries operating across the state. That voluntary board, by the way, had some people on it that didn't seem too enthusiastic about medical marijuana or marijuana in general, hence the slow movement on establishing dispensaries. Thankfully, that board is being abolished thanks to an executive order by Governor Whitmer. She created the Marijuana Licensing Regulatory Agency. This agency will now be in charge of licensing of both medical and recreational marijuana markets. And that's big because it's going to help streamline the process. Remember, Michiganders passed a recreational use of marijuana initiative last fall. It called for legal recreational use for adults, and it won by a substantial 57-43% gap. I mean, this is big. This is what Michiganders voted for. And it's going to help the state of Michigan. As the Free Press notes, both medical and recreational marijuana will be subject to the state's 6% sales tax, and recreational pot will carry a 10% excise tax when it becomes commercially available for sale in early 2020. I mean, for years, I and thousands of my fellow Michiganders were saying legalizing marijuana would be a boon for the state. And so far, we're sort of being proven correct. At least on this issue, we are. Oh, and news did break this week that people dealing with cerebral palsy can now obtain medical marijuana. That's about time. I mean, just think what's going to happen once recreational use shops begin to sprout across the state. Sorry for the pun. Projections sort of vary on how much marijuana sales could bring to the state. According to the Anderson Economic Group, an East Lansing economic consulting firm, Michigan could receive somewhere around $225 million in sales taxes by 2023. Now, as Michigan Advance notes correctly, that's nowhere enough to pay for fixing the damn roads. That's true, of course. But that's still $225 million the state didn't have before Michiganders okayed legalizing some pot. And just think how much money we will save by not incarcerating people for having a joint or having a little bit of pot. I mean, that is going to be huge for the state of Michigan. And our police and our first responders can deal with other issues rather than trying to catch somebody with a joint. That was such a waste of time. Now, I do have one more thing to say, though. The ballot initiative gave local municipalities the right to deny recreational pot shops in their towns. And several towns are doing so, like Frankenmuth or Saginaw Township or Union Township near Mount Pleasant. And several others are doing the same thing. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. As long as they're serving the will of their people. If not, then it's up to you guys to get involved in your local city council meetings and let your voices be heard. Or, even better, run for a seat on your city council in the next election. But here's my hot take of this podcast. Those city councils that are voting to block recreational or medical marijuana shops in their towns should not receive one cent that comes from marijuana sales. I mean, why should those towns benefit from other cities and towns that decided to do the smart thing, that decided to make the smart business decision by allowing these shops in their towns? Why do they get to benefit from it? You don't want the shops in your towns? Then you don't see 1 cent from the sales taxes or the excise taxes that are coming from marijuana sales. Sorry, you don't want to be part of the game? You don't get to enjoy the benefits from the game. It just doesn't make any business sense, people. I don't know why these towns are doing it, because in the long run, I think it'll help local businesses. Not to mention, convenience stores will really see their sales skyrocket.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wanderbeats. To hear more, visit wanderbeats.net. That's wanderbeats.net. Now back to Pat Johnston.
That's going to do it for another installment of the LOL podcast. Hey, if you want to email me, it's simple. Tell me that I'm doing a great job. Tell me I'm doing a bad job. Tell me, it's okay. Whatever. Give me an email, leftoflansing@gmail.com. That's leftoflansing@gmail.com. Please visit the Left of Lansing blog, too. We do some hard work on that blog, so check it out. And it's another way for me to communicate with you in between the podcast. That's leftoflansing.com. Remember, as I told you at the beginning of this podcast, don't get into despair. That's what they want you to do. They want you to throw your hands up in the air and say, well, this whole system is screwed up. There's nothing I can do. So that's it. I'm not going to get involved. No, stay involved. Keep your eyes and ears open on what's happening with your government, both on the national side, but especially in your state and local governments. Because what happens in your state and local governments will affect you more immediately than what happens on the national level. So please just keep your eyes and your ears open on what's happening in the state and local governments. Because as we've learned here during the last 20 or 30 years in Michigan, with Republican leadership, our state has crumbling roads, has a struggling education system, and has dirty water. You see what happens when you check out? Here are the results. So stay focused and stay engaged. Don't let them get you down. I'm Pat Johnston. Have a good week, and I'll talk with you next time on the Left of Lansing podcast. Thank you, Michigan.
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston. Just kidding. This thing isn't researched. And broadcasted by Pat Johnston. Technical assistance provided by the wonderful Dr. Heather. And don't forget to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information and Pat's musical taste, if you can handle it. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.